prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
And welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We've got an important show for you today. And some really great research has been coming out of the University of Washington from their comparative medicine department. And I've got two guests on the line with me right now. I've got Dr. Linda Enns. How you doing, Linda?
Good, thanks for having me.
And Professor Warren Ladegus. How you doing, Professor?
Doing good, thank you.
Okay, so anyway, we had a chance to kind of talk about some recent research that your group has been working on. And the recent study that attracted me to contact you was disruption of protein kinase A in mice enhances healthy aging. So just to get to the point of this, but before we kind of hit it hard, can you explain to my audience what protein kinase A is? Either one of you could grab that one.
So, Linda, let me do a little brief overview, and then maybe you can embellish that. So protein kinase A is a protein that's coded by a set of genes. It's one of the oldest kinase genes that's known. It was originally discovered several decades ago. And several individuals have won Nobel Prizes for working on that. It really is a complex of genes that have just a wide array of function in a number of different cellular processes, including energy production, which is relevant to the research that we're doing.
Okay.
So the way we've approached working on this is to identify individual subunit genes. They're called subunit genes that make up this complex, and then make genetically engineered mouse models so we can actually study the individual subunit genes. And the paper that we referred to is the result of one of those subunit genes.
Okay. And that subunit gene, was that the R2 beta that you're
Correct.
Talking about? Okay.
Correct.
Okay. So R2 beta regulates the production of protein kinase A.
More of the activity, actually.
Okay. Okay. And so describe the study design, first of all.
Linda, I'll give you the...
Sure. Actually, it was a very basic study. How it all started when I joined this lab, it was actually underway, and basically we had these cohorts, basically sitting on the shelf cooking, as we said, and just living their lives. And what we were interested in was just to see if they were going to be long-lived. And over the course of the study, what we tried to do was come up with ways that we could look at their aging, look at the progression of age-related disease and what was going on in a non-invasive manner. In other words, we wanted to, basically handle them, hurt them as little as possible because we didn't want to be, a factor in their lifespan.
Sure, sure.
One thing I might mention is that the rationale for even considering this study is actually based on studies in yeast.
Right. Interestingly enough, all of the studies in longevity and healthy aging seem to start with yeast and then move to there's a worm
C. elegans.
C. elegans. I want to say elongate. It's elegance, right? And so then they move to those particular worms, and then from worms they go to mice, and then hopefully all that kind of translates to humans.
Correct.
I guess, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. That just says that these are highly conserved genes that we're dealing with.
Right.
Right.
And so you, I guess the design of the study was you had 40 mutant mice and 40 wild type or normal schlub mice like me. and you had them, they ate the same diet, correct?
Mm-hmm, yep.
Okay. The only difference was that the mutant mice did not produce or did not have this PKA or protein kinase A activity to the same degree as the wild type, correct?
Not PK activity regulated by this particular subunit.
Okay.
Yeah.
So was protein kinase A completely knocked out, or was it just knocked out to a certain degree?
PKA, protein kinase A, is a pretty complicated enzyme, and it's made up of what we call different subunits. And each of those subunits has different types. And so, for example, the regulatory subunit R2-beta is one regulatory subunit, and it's got this what we call tissue-specific expression. It's predominantly found in adipose tissue and in the brain. But there are other regulatory subunits. There's one, for example, called R1-alpha that has different patterns of expression. So mice lacking R2-beta, they only are missing a specific type of PKA activity.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Okay, so the 40 mutant mice, the 40 wild-type mice, they got the same diet, they had the same lifestyles, they access, I would matter, you know, imagine, to exercise and freedom to do whatever they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
What did you find as far as their aging and their lifespan?
Go ahead, Linda.
Well, basically what we found was there was an extension in lifespan, a modest extension, and that this extension in lifespan was gender-specific. We saw this in males only.
I said this to you before the interview, I was both shocked and excited when I saw that it was the male mice that tended to see the benefits of this particular as far as longevity goes.
Right. Yeah, and we're somewhat excited by this, too. First of all, with these types of experiments, gender specificity is not uncommon. In this case, what we sort of like about the gender specificity is we can use that now as a tool to try and narrow down mechanistically why these mice are long-lived, because we're looking at a whole range of protection against all kinds of different age-associated diseases.
Right.
But we can now look at all of these different what we call phenotypes and say, okay, now which ones do we see only in the males versus the females, and that can help us narrow down exactly why it is these mice are living longer in the first place.
I'm sorry, just one question.
I just wanted to embellish that a little bit. So we're not exactly sure that that's going to spill over and be gender-specific in people. And obviously we're trying to develop ways to specifically inhibit this particular subunit so that it's, you know, might be safe for, you know, working out studies in humans.
Yeah, because if you find a way to keep men alive longer and not women, you're going to have Helen Gurley Brown and Gloria Allred after you.
Right. I mean, it may be just unique to the mouse and, you know, its particular mode of survival. We think it's probably hormonal related.
And that was my next. Here's my question: in the mouse kingdom, do the male mice typically live as long as female mice, less or longer? In general, I mean, wild type mice. I'm talking about.
It varies, by the studies that have been reported. Interestingly, some of the inbred strains, some of the male mice actually live longer than females.
Okay.
But it really is strain dependent.
The reason I ask this is because we know from shows that we've done in the past on superphysiological levels of testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
That testosterone can increase insulin resistance through translocation of GLUT4.
Huh.
And this is why superphysiological doses of anabolic steroids, highly androgenic anabolic steroids, actually promote insulin resistance in the athletes that use them.
Interesting.
And so I'm wondering if the reason that this worked on the male mice more than the females is because they had higher levels of testosterone. That was it. That was the thing that came to mind. Whenever there's a something that occurs in males only, I always think of testosterone because that's the one predominant difference, hormonally, that we have over women. So it was just a thought.
Oh, no, I think it's a good thought. In fact, there's a mutant I'm working on right now that we're noticing it's got an obesity-resistant phenotype when challenged with, high-fat, high-calorie diet, and it's very specific to females. And to me, that says that, you know, we should be focusing on estrogen signaling. So, you know, again, that really does help you sort of focus your work, you know, decide where it is you want to look.
Right, right. And so the mice that the mutant mice lived modestly longer. Can you quantify that?
Let me think back to the paper.
Well, I'm looking at the numbers. I'm looking at the numbers. And in mice years, is this significant? The wild type mice lived an average of 884 days.
Mm-hmm.
And the mutant mice lived an average of 1,005 days. So like 200 and somewhat days longer. Or
roughly.
Is that significant in mice years? I mean,
yes.
In mice
life? Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, and actually we have a really good statistician here named Mary Emmond. And she did the statistics on that and showed that it was actually quite significant.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all, you know, it's all statistically powered and it's highly significant. And but in terms of other mouse studies.
Well, let's do this, Professor Lattigus. Let us just take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we can talk about the other mouse studies. So just hold that thought, okay?
Great.
All right, you're listening to Superhuman Radio. We're talking today with Dr. Linda Enns and Professor Warren Lattigus from the University of Washington about possible new ways to make us men live longer. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at uscellwellness.com. US Cell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at uscellwellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanical Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies. If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the AgeForce Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit AgeForce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save
save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow. Get up-to-the-minute news and more. Join the Superhuman Radio listener mail list. Go to superhumanradio.com and join.
Bill Nussel, Bernard Fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
I just want to remind everybody about the uswellnessmeats.com $200 worth of free product giveaway. Just go to superhumanradio.com and look right on the homepage for the form. One entry per household. Put your information in there. They just want your name and email address. 6 weeks from now, we're going to have the drawing. The winner will be announced on the air. You can win $200 worth of free product. That includes grass-fed beef or bison, free-range chicken, rabbit, lamb, or goat, and humane-raised pork. So go to superhumanradio.com and enter to win $200 worth of free product from uswellnessmeats.com. My guests today are Dr. Linda Enns and Professor Warren Ladegus from the University of Washington. We're talking about a new mechanism that may extend life, or at least healthy aging. And you were going to say before we went into the break, Professor Ladegus.
Yes. Well, just in terms of comparing this particular mouse model and the data that we generated, you know, with other studies in mice that have looked at other genes, and also the gold standard in terms of lifespan extension, that's caloric restriction. You know, Linda referred to it as a modest increase in lifespan, and so it's, you know, somewhere is in the middle. I think it's certainly not the robust lifespan extension, you know, that we see with caloric restriction, but it still was you know, very highly significant finding that really has led us to you know, try to figure out mechanistically what's going on here. So,
did you look at a sirtuin expression by any chance?
No, we haven't. But we are planning on looking at how protein kinase A subunits interact with several other genes in the nutrient sense, what we call a nutrient sensing pathway.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if there's interest, you know, I can talk about some of these.
Yeah, no, I would like to talk about it. I want to mention something we talked about before the interview also, and that is that, you know, there's been quite a bit of research out there. We did a show once about every other day fasting was as effective as caloric restriction in extending life in a rat model. And there was a link to sirtuin expression in the every other day fasting of the rats.
Mm-hmm.
Is similar to, actually, they said it was more effective than the complete caloric restriction. And then we also did a show, and I was just handed the original document that we did back in March of this year. Dr. Anton Roux's group up at the University of Montreal, Department of Biochemistry, they published a really interesting paper, Pro-Aging Effects of Glucose Signaling Through a G-Protein-Coupled Glucose Receptor in Yeast. And this was one in yeast, and I guess now they're going to move to the worms. And so, you know, and in your study, there was a greater degree of insulin sensitivity in the knockout mice, And a correlating a result in adiposity. These mice were leaner. They had greater lean body mass. Do you think that there's? You think? And I was actually going to aim this at you, Dr. Enns. Do you think that this is there's some linkage here to baseline glucose levels being more stable in the protein kinase knockout?
Well, as we were talking about earlier before the show, it is very hard to dissociate obesity with, you know, insulin resistance and all of these other things that are found in what we call metabolic syndrome, you know, which is the cause, which is the effect. and which of these are involved in the longevity phenotype that we're seeing in these R2-beta mice, because really, ultimately, that's what we're interested in our lab, why they live longer. I did mention earlier that one of the tools that we're using to sort of focus our research in terms of figuring out mechanistically what's going on is this gender specificity. Now, the insulin sensitivity that we see in the mutant mice is something that we actually see in both males and females.
Mm.
So this is one reason why we think the insulin sensitivity may not be... Right. So, but what we did find looking at the control or wild-type mice was that, at least for this particular study, obesity and longevity or lifespan only correlated in males. So while both genders enjoyed protection against age-induced obesity, you know, over time for both genders, the wild-type mice got fatter, but the mutants remained lean. Only in wild-type male mice was this a factor in how long they lived. So we really think that this is going to be a valuable model for looking at the role of obesity in age-related disease and longevity, as opposed to the role of insulin sensitivity.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. And obviously obesity, you know, there are so many studies out there that show the effects of obesity in the increase in inflammatory markers.
Right.
You know, the linkage between obesity and insulin resistance. You know, just and then something we talked about earlier, you know, in our environment today, we're exposed to so many more toxins than maybe 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that those little fat cells are kind of like time capsules,
mm-hmm.
and they store a lot of stuff that they keep there. I mean, I remember seeing a study, and it's very vague now. I'm talking about maybe six, seven years ago, that showed the some sort of linkage between rapid fat loss and the onset of certain types of cancers.
Mm-hmm.
And the hypothesis was there was a large release in women. It was actually a study in women, and something to do with the large release in estrogen that occurs, especially xeno and phytoestrogens that are stored in fat cells. Now, you know, I mean, obviously those are asides from maybe the real reasons why fat is causing disease. I think Professor Ladegus pointed something out also before in the balance between, you know, intake and output of energy, right, Professor Ladegus?
Correct. So the other aspect is that we know that this particular R2-beta subunit gene has a tissue specificity expression, and that is in adipose tissue and brain. And we know that one of the effects in general of PKA is cellular proliferation, you know, to enhance the health of the cell. And we know that PKA in general enhances and in fact is in large part responsible for the differentiation of fat cells, adipocytes, and so mechanistically I think this is an area that we're going to begin to study at the cellular level and looking at adipocytes and how they what effect R2-beta might have on adipocyte differentiation. And obviously, you know, that would greatly impact, the ability to store adiposity or fat stores. It all comes back to, what we've originally seen in this model that we reported and what Linda has already described.
Now, the interesting thing about the mutant mice, Dr. Enns, was that while they lived longer, they also were much more robust into their later time as well.
Yes, they just demonstrated healthy aging.
You know, we've done shows here on Paleolithic styles of eating, and also we've done shows here on the quality of food that's available to us today. And we know that past generations, while infectious disease caused a lot of deaths, there was not nearly the rate of chronic illness that we have today. And there's a lot of evidence that the quality of the food that we eat, you know, has something to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
If we look at primitive cultures, if you look at Dr. Weston A. Price and some of the research that he did on primitive cultures and primitive styles of eating, we know that in primitive cultures, people in their eighth and ninth decade of life are still actively involved, raising children for their, you know, grandchildren and so on and so forth, and working and doing whatever they can, as opposed to people in the United States, where once they hit that eighth and ninth decade of life, quite often, you know, they're institutionalized or at least limited to what quality of life that they can have.
Oh, yeah. I mean, diet definitely plays a role. And I mean, you can see that in the human population. If you just look at different cultures, for example, I believe in Japan, there's a very low incidence of colon cancer. You know, they think that's related to something to do with their diet. In India, I think, is it turmeric that's been associated with healthy aging? So, you know, definitely nutrition or the types of things that we eat play a role. What's interesting, you know, about a study like this, of course, is that the mutants and the wild type mice eat exactly the same diet. There's no, not only difference in what they consume, but we've also looked at, and other people have looked at, how much they consume. And the number of calories they take in seems to be identical.
I just thought of that. So the mutant mice were consuming the same amount of calories on a daily basis as the wild type mice.
They weren't. Exactly. Exactly.
Wow.
So, you know, Warren was saying that we want to get interested in possibly the role of PKA in making adipocytes, or, you know, you can call that lipogenesis.
Right.
Because they're taking in the same number of calories. It's just that downstream of that, something's going on that's preventing them from either making fat or depositing fat or perhaps using fat.
Carl, what you're trying to ask and get at is that, you know, aging is not just environmental, dietary. It's not just genetic. I think it's a combination. And so what we've been able to show that we definitely have some genetic information that suggests that inhibition of this particular subunit, PKA gene, will have some beneficial effects. But when you combine that with, a healthier diet, then, you know, we're certainly expecting to see increased benefits. And that's in fact an experiment that we are planning to do. When I say healthier diet, I'm thinking more in terms of the difference in total energy intake versus energy expenditure.
Yeah. Let's talk more. Let's talk when we come back from this break. Let's talk more about that. Let's talk about that study and what you hope to elucidate. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. My guests today are Dr. Linda Enns and Professor Warren Ladegus from the University of Washington. And we'll be right back.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out getds.com. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else? Hey, who wants to live longer? Go to superhumanradio.com today and listen to Superhuman Radio live at 1 p.m. Pacific weekdays.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
You know, you can get a lot of free stuff at superhumanradio.com. Just go to the homepage, go down to the area that says free stuff, and click away until your little heart is content. Just about every one of our advertisers offers a free sample, and that you never have to pay shipping and handling when you get something free at Superhuman Radio. So check it out. It's like Christmas every day here at superhumanradio.com. My guest today are Dr. Linda Enns and Professor Warren Latiger from the University of Washington. We're talking about a recent study that they published linking the disruption of protein kinase A and enhanced lifespan in mice. Now, Professor Latiger, you were saying when we went into the break the importance of combining this with an energy balance, intake and output.
Correct.
And that probably would have even a more enhanced or profound effect on longevity, you feel?
We would think that it would have an enhanced effect. However, the way we would set this up, we would do probably a moderate caloric restriction. But we're not entirely sure if, in fact, protein kinase A is, mechanistically mediating some or all of the caloric restriction effects,
mm-hmm.
Or if in fact it's a separate mechanistic entity. So we're not entirely sure, what we might see. The speculation is that we would actually see an enhanced benefit.
Yeah, one would think that there would be a compound effect between
Correct.
The two. Since individually they seem to have a benefit, you would think that if you would combine them, there would be
Correct.
Some sort of exponential benefit. Now let me ask you, Dr. Enns, the older mutant mice had a greater degree of lean body mass into later life, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did their lean body mass, was their lean body mass greater than the wild type mice throughout the study?
Well, I only personally looked at lean body mass in aged mice. You know, I think they were, let me see, close to 20 months. So sort of the equivalent of an elderly human, I suppose.
When these mice are young,
they're pretty much the same.
They're fairly similar. They have a slight decrease in body weight, but it's not significant.
See,
so basically, they're fairly similar.
But this doesn't have to do. I mean, this has to do more with the fact that when they start off, all of the mice are young. They haven't developed. You know, the equivalent of metabolic syndrome in humans.
Right.
As the wild type get older, they're the ones that get fat. And
right.
So it's more of a comparative thing.
You know, the reason I'm asking is because there's a flip side to this. If the two groups of mice, the wild type mice and the mutant mice, consume the same calories, same diet, mm-hmm. and the mutant mice tended to not put on fat,
mm-hmm.
and if they ended up putting on muscle instead of fat,
mm-hmm.
then I would speculate if they were allowed to eat a more nutrient-dense diet, would the same be true? Would they continue to take those calories and increase protein synthesis instead of fat production? And if so, is there an anabolic effect to reducing protein kinase A?
Now, there was a study done. There was a study done that did look at the effects of a high caloric diet on the R2 beta mice.
Okay.
I don't believe that they found any anabolic effects. It was just more of there wasn't an effect so much on skeletal muscle as an effect on obesity resistance.
Okay.
I believe.
And prevention of fatty liver disease.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So it seems to just have an effect on lipolysis and lipogenesis.
Yes.
Interesting.
Lipogenesis.
Very interesting.
Correct.
Now the next study that you were talking about, Professor Ladegus, you're going to take these same R2B knockout beta knockout mice, and you're going to feed them. How will you quantify what their energy expenditures are and how many calories they should have on a daily basis?
Well, that's a pretty standard experiment, because
I know when you ask people, they lie. I swear, I didn't eat anything all day. I can't believe I got fatter.
we can quantitate that, quite precisely, in terms of the type of diet that we feed them. It's all calibrated in terms of exactly how much, they're given, and so that's the easy part, really. The hard part is actually just doing the study for lifespan, because they're very time consuming and resource demanding. The other thing that we're also looking at is trying to determine. I think I mentioned this earlier. Relationship with other gene pathways, these are genes within what we call a nutrient sensing pathway.
Mm-hmm.
There was a recent paper published on the effect of a compound called rapamycin. I'm not sure you're familiar with that, but
rapamycin.
Rapamycin.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm familiar with it.
Right.
Yeah.
And when fed to mice, it also results in extended lifespan. And that was just recently reported.
Isn't rapamycin somehow implicated in protein synthesis, response
Correct.
To
yeah.
resistance exercise
Correct.
Or something?
Correct. One of the target genes, the main target gene is called TOR, target of rapamycin.
TOR, right? I've seen that.
TOR, correct.
Yeah.
And that's the particular gene that we're quite interested in. And again, in yeast and roundworms, when you selectively remove TOR, you get extended lifespan. again, mechanistically, you know, we're not exactly sure what's going on, but it's a very robust nutrient sensing pathway that we're very excited about further investigation.
I stand to be corrected, but I feel like we did a show a while back on the protein synthetic response of various protein supplements, you know, whey, and so on and so forth. And we found out that the ones that had the highest leucine content produced the greatest protein synthesis, and there was a relationship to rapamycin in there. With leucine somewhere.
That's correct.
Yeah, I think there is an association with actually impeding protein synthesis and extending lifespan. The rapamycin, I think it was discovered to be lifespan enhancing through it is used in chemotherapy, I believe.
Yes, I did see that. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that when I was doing the research for that show, when I looked up rapamycin, I found out that it was used in chemotherapy for something. I'm trying to think what it was. Is it a combo therapy or something? Or
It actually suppresses the immune system.
That's what it was. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, but obviously some of these things that would extend life don't sound like very much fun. I mean, the majority of my audience, we're physical culturists. We believe in exercise and we want to see some dividends for our exercise. We want to look in the mirror and see bigger biceps and quad muscles and so on and so forth. And if I have to give up my musculature to live longer, I'm probably not going to be willing to do that. And so, you know, there's got to be, and I also know that there's very muscular people that live into the eighth and ninth decade of life. There's some older fathers of physical culture and bodybuilding like Dan Lurie and those guys that are still alive. Jack LaLanne, God bless him. I mean, you know, he's in his 90s now. He's still swimming tugboats around, you know, the New York Harbor. So I don't think he really is, but.
Well, you know, the whole point of this molecular work is really to get as far sort of downstream as we can to figure out ultimately, for example, why does caloric restriction enhance lifespan. If you go far enough downstream, genetically speaking, you don't necessarily have to mimic all of the different physiological effects of caloric restriction, for example. If you find that, you know, that target downstream that's being affected, perhaps, you know, there's a way to target something very specific. I've had a lot of people say to me, caloric restriction doesn't sound like a lot of fun. And it's not. And I've had people say, you're talking about basically cutting, what is it, Warren, like 30% of your calories out of your diet?
Yeah, it's
or
not
more?
A lot. It's not
at least 30%, yeah.
It's actually quite a lot.
But you know what? Every other day fasting, I did that for about 2 weeks just to experiment with it, and it wasn't that bad at all if you know how to fast. And even periodic fasting has some benefits to longevity. You know, I mean, I don't think it has to be that heroic of a step in order to affect longevity.
But here's where I think we're really headed here is, ultimately we want some kind of mimetic that either we can pop a pill or, a food supplement or, even the diet somehow that mimics some of the effects that we're seeing with the type of data that we just recently reported. To do that, it requires this type of genetic work.
To isolate that.
Yeah.
Isolate that mechanism.
I mean, realistically,
absolutely.
We're not going to knock out a gene in people. I mean,
what if we find out that exercise actually suppresses protein kinase A, the type that you're talking about that proliferates in brain and fat tissue?
If exercise suppresses a protein kinase A?
Yeah.
In fact, the complexity of protein kinase A with the number of different subunits and their tissue-specific distribution, I think is designed to not allow that to happen because we know that some subunits function more for example, in cardiac tissue and muscle tissue, and they function in just the opposite direction as what they might, as other subunits might function, say, for in the brain or in adipose tissue.
Right.
So that's a question that is hard to answer simply because of the complexity of this gene. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to be very selective in looking at specific subunits and their specific distribution in certain tissues.
Right. All right, we're going to take our last commercial break, and then we'll come back. And you know, Dr. Enns, I know why caloric restriction extends life.
You do?
Yes, because I just know they're going to give me a good meal sooner or later. I just have to stay alive long enough to get it. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. 6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to IronMagLabs.com today. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at NeedToBuildMuscle.com. I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0 plus ongoing support on the Blueprint Forum to ensure your success. Did you know you can listen to Superhuman Radio while mobile? That's right. Go to the iPhone store and download the free Shoutcast app and then search for the Superhuman channel.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest today, Dr. Linda Enns and Professor Warren Ladegus from the University of Washington. We're just wrapping up this interview about protein kinase A. Did I hear either of you refer to protein kinase A earlier in the interview as an enzyme?
Yes.
Is it part of like a cascade, like the P450 cytochrome enzyme cascade?
I wouldn't really say that, no. Well, Warren, what would you say?
Well, it's a pathway.
Yeah.
So there are certain receptors on the surface of the cell that receive signals, and then that triggers certain factors that trigger certain factors, and it's all part of a pathway.
What would you say, a cascade? I mean, I always think about MAP kinase when I think cascade.
The reason I'm asking this is it's obvious from some of your answers that there are subunits of this protein kinase production that elevate in conditions while others may be reduced in certain conditions, and they seem to have their own agendas of what reactions and cause they create. And I'm just curious if there's a if there's any indication that there's any way to reduce this particular subunit that is expressed in brain and adipose tissue that was knocked out in the R2 beta mutant mice, is there a way to naturally reduce protein, this subunit of protein kinase A?
So, Linda, let me take a crack at this, and then you can embellish.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of issues here. One is that R2 beta is expressed in adipose tissue in the brain, and when it is deleted in the mouse, we see all these beneficial benefits of extended lifespan. However, there is some degree of caution here because when it's removed in the brain, there may be some learning deficits that might be associated with this.
That you'll never know mice have, right?
actually,
you can test that.
We have very good paradigms for testing cognitive function in mice. And so we're actually more excited about another subunit PKA gene that we've actually just gotten another manuscript accepted for publication, and we're actually doing a lifespan study in knockout mice, and that's one of the catalytic subunits where there is, so to speak, much less collateral damage.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And we don't see any negative effects. Although we haven't completed the lifespan study yet, we do see some very positive health benefits. And what we've done is, actually, this has been one of Linda's major projects, is to develop a screening assay to look at natural plant compounds that might be specific for inhibiting this particular catalytic subunit gene. And so, Linda, I'll let you talk a little bit more about that because, this is an area we're very excited about because it has direct relevance to taking it to, the human level and possibly nutrition trials, those types of things.
Right. So, yeah, we are quite a bit more interested in this particular catalytic subunit, and it's called PKAC-beta. More so than R2 beta because, as Warren mentioned, the collateral damage is less, if not non-existent. You know, there have been papers published looking at the cognitive effects, and they're practically non-existent.
But in the R2 beta, there is, you're saying?
There is.
So, in other words, every jock that I knew in high school probably was R2 beta deficient, right?
Because
he was buffed and he was lean, but he was dumb as a stump.
So, and I do want to just back up briefly, and I mentioned earlier going genetically downstream, and you talked about PKA and the potential for it to be involved in other things as well, and it is, you know. Ideally, what we do want to do is go downstream so we can more pinpoint or be a little more specific genetically about what the causes are of these health benefits, of this extended lifespan, so that ultimately you might not have to inhibit such a major enzyme that's involved in so many different physiological effects.
But one that's much more selective, much more spot on, so to
exactly.
speak.
Yeah. And that's why we are so interested in the genetics, and that's why we do all of this, you know, molecular work in the first place. But this is also why we're so excited about PKAC-beta, because as I mentioned, it does seem that it does play a very specific role, because when you get rid of it, the mice seem to be pretty much normal. You know, behaviorally, they're okay. Physiologically, morphologically, they look fine. What happens, though, is if you put them on a high-fat, high-caloric diet, just like the R2-beta mice, they show this obesity resistance and fatty liver resistance and all of these health benefits seen in the R2-beta mice. So we have reason to believe or hope that, these mice will also be long-lived. And so I am right now trying to develop an assay to screen, as Warren said, these plant-based compounds to see if any of them may have the ability to inhibit just this particular catalytic subunit of PKA without affecting other PKA functions.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Will you come back on the show and talk about that?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, that paper should be coming out within a few weeks.
Okay. Well, then would you email me once you are able to come on and talk about it then?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Excellent. Excellent.
Love to.
We've come to the end of the interview. I want to thank both of you for taking time out of your day and coming on Superhuman Radio to talk about this. It's very exciting work that you're doing. And I wish you a lot of luck and progress because, you know, mankind, especially men, mankind, can benefit from your research, and hopefully womankind as well.
Okay.
Hey, thank you very much. And thanks for listening to Superhuman Radio today, and I will see everybody tomorrow.